The recent wild fluctuations in the stock market have gotten our linguist, Jeff Nunberg, thinking about the origins of the language we use to describe the market.
The bear began to growl almost immediately after the English Stock Exchange was first established around the beginning of the 18th century. That was the period when the market was caught up in the wild speculations in the South Sea Company that launched the phrase stock bubble. As the stock price soared, people started selling shares they didn't own in hope of buying them back more cheaply if the stock went down later on. The traders called this selling the bear skin, a phrase that originated in Aesop's fable about the hunter who sells the skin of a bear before he's caught it, a story that's mentioned in Shakespeare as well. From there, using bear to refer to people who thought the market was going to fall was only a short step. And not long after that, the bear was joined by his optimistic alter ego, the bull. It isn't clear where he came from. My theory is that bull started out as a variation of pull, which was the name of the stock market maneuver that we now refer to as a call. But the main thing was that it made for a euphonious pair of beasts. Of course, nowadays you don't hear much about Aesop on CNBC unless somebody's talking about an employee stock ownership plan. But the bull and the bear have hung on. In fact, they're just about the last animals left that are still doing symbolic work for us. They're like characters from a medieval bestiary, the stern and saturnine bear bristling with admonitions about irrational exuberance, the bulls with their irrepressible optimism and, well, ebullience, a word that comes from the Latin word for bubble, by the way. It's one of those eternal comic oppositions that's bred in the bone. Don Quixote and Sancho Panza, Mr. Pickwick and Sam Weller, Oscar and Felix, Greg and Dharma. When you think about it, you know exactly what they've each got in their portfolio. In fact, the market menagerie is populated with all sorts of beasts. Dead cat bounces, the dogs of the Dow, alligator spreads, porcupine provisions, bedbug letters. And it seems half the ads you see for investment firms feature images of leopards, wolves, and lions, not to mention the bunnies and lambs who lack the good sense to avail themselves of the advertiser's services. It's the stuff of the fables and proverbs that the whole conversation is awash with. Over the past couple of weeks, I had the feeling you could gauge the decline of the NASDAQ just by counting the number of times you heard that line, "Don't try to catch a falling knife," as analysts warned investors not to try to chase the lows. It's hard to escape this talk. There's never been a time when so many people were conversant with the language of the market, with the help of internet chat groups and the cable channels that offer bell-to-bell market yammer. You hear them in the corner store, in the barber shop. The other day, I was even forced to listen to a market wrap-up while I was on hold to order tickets for a poetry reading. It's a pretty jumbled dialect, all those proverbs and folksy expressions mixed with a barrage of technical terms like moving averages and volatility indexes. But that makes sense in a world where nobody really knows what's going on. If you're selling Microsoft to me at 66.5, one of us is probably making a mistake, and we won't know who it is until after the close. It's like any other comic fable. The action starts off with people reciting spells and formulas that promise a kind of magical control, and it winds up with them repeating the wisdom they got from their grandmother. That's the great consolation of Proverbs. You can always find one to justify whatever you want to do. For every absence makes the heart grows fonder, there's an out of sight, out of mind. For every take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves, there's a penny wise and pound foolish. Actually, it turns out that there are also two versions of Aesop's fable about the man who sold the bear skin before catching the bear. In one of them, the bear kills the hunter. In the other, he lets him off with a warning. If you're holding stocks right now, you can pick the one that suits you. And remember, fortune favors the brave.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.
Well, baby, what I couldn't do with plenty of money and you, in spite of the worry that money brings, just a little filthy lucre buys a lot of things. And I could take you to places that you would like to go, but outside of that I've no use for dough. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval.